السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، السلام
أنا
عليكم.
أمين وإياكم أبا يوسف حوي.
الحمد لله بخير.
كيف شكرا ودكات.
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, in our last class we completed the ahadith on باب السباب, the chapter on insulting and denigrating the Muslim. Someone comes and then begins to make ihana, begins to belittle a Muslim. He begins to insult him, whether what he says is with him or whether what he says is not with him. If what he says is with him, it is part of as-sibab. If what he says is not with him, it is part of as-sibab. But when he says what is not with him, it is also referred to as as-shatm. So as-sibab is more encompassing than as-shatm. So all about the both of them have to do with insulting the Muslim, abusing him, bringing him down, belittling him. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, in that hadith 419, he made us understand, and we said that the scholars hold that hadith sahih. One of them, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abdul Razak Ibn Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin. At the moment he teaches in the Prophet's Masjid in Medina, he is an associate professor in the Islamic University of Medina, Sheikh Abdul Razak. He holds this hadith to be sound because it has other corroborating evidences in the books of Sunnah that once someone was abusing the other person and insulting him, denigrating him, the one who was being abused did not respond, and the angels were responding on his behalf. So if someone begins to abuse you, begins to insult you, the best of what you can do and the most rewarding of what you can do is not to reply like him, is not to go down like him, to become like him, to equalize yourself with him. Many of the scholars of Islam said this following this hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and the verses of the Quran that prefers overlooking to revenge. The verses of the Quran prefer overlooking. It says, Waman afa wa aslaha fa ajruhu ala Allah. The one who overlooks wa aslaha, even did well, fa ajruhu ala Allah, Allah alone knows what he will reward him with. There's a lot of benefit in not replying to someone who insults you, abuses you, denigrates you. If there is something requiring an explanation in what he said, you can explain that particular thing. But don't respond insult for insult. Don't respond insult for insult. Yes, returning the exact insult for the exact insult is lawful. But you will lose one thing. You will lose the fact that the malaika will be responding on your behalf. You will also lose that huge reward with Allah, that Allah alone knows. وَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. These huge rewards with Allah with which he will reward the one who is patient over the other person's insult and abuse. That's ajr allazi ala Allah. That is with Allah. He alone knows how huge it is. The person misses it once he replies. Replying is lawful, is allowed. But not to reply is better. The third thing around this is that when you now reply and go overboard, you become the one who takes over the sin. We shall come back to that. Someone says you are mad. Then you say you are mad and stupid. The one who replied takes over the sin. He becomes worse than the one who started the abuse. So these are three stages regarding these matters. Not to respond at all. That is the most encouraged. To respond, that is allowed. To respond and then go beyond limits, that is unlawful. So you see how people progress from the condition of recommendation to the condition of lawfulness to the condition of unlawfulness. These three things happen when people insult people. But the best place for us to stay is the place where we don't have to respond to the one who insults us, so that we do not be like him, so that we stay away and to prevent us from not going overboard. Don't insult him. You can, if there's a matter regarding what he said, you can explain that matter. But don't go down the drain with him, trading insult for insult and trading abuse for abuse. Now, our religion is a religion that gives us a lot of space as long as we are alive. It gives the person who goes overboard the space to cancel his evil deeds. Someone goes overboard. Someone says to him, you are mad. And then he says, you are mad, you are stupid, you are foolish, you are a bastard. He has gone overboard. This person who has gone overboard, how does he relieve himself of these burdens? Or the one who was insulting another person, and the other person did not reply, how do they become free from the penalties, from the sins they have gathered because they were insulting you? Or that he was even insulting you with something that you are free from. How does the Sharia encourage them? The Sharia says, don't do it. Make tawbah. As we read in the last asar, the asar of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when Abu Juhayfa reported that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, illa man taba, except the one who repents. So if someone repents, how then does he move forward? What other ways does he gain benefit? Things that will cancel out his sin of insulting people. We are saying that the chapter we are looking at today, bismillah, Babu Saqil Ma, the chapter about providing people water. So we can ask, what is the connection between someone insulting others, abusing them? We say it's not good. And what follows it is a chapter about Saqil Ma, providing water to those who are thirsty, providing water in a society, in an environment that needs water, providing water in a home. There are 50 people living in that single house, and they can't have any good means of drinkable water. You provide them water. This Saqil Ma, what is the connection between Saqil Ma and As-Sibab? The ulama say the reason is that Saqil Ma cleanses the sin of the individual. It cleanses your sins and it weighs heavy on your scale of good deeds. Don't forget that both good deeds and the evil deeds of people will be weighed. So when the good deeds overweigh, these are the successful people. So from the things that weigh heavily on the scales of good deeds is what? Saqil Ma. From the things that weigh heavily, that will suppress that evil of insult. You are insulting. This is the antidote to insult. This is the way to correct yourself if it now happens that you have insulted someone. Just yesterday in the evening, I heard someone saying to another person, idiot, foolish, stupid. So I had to say to that person, you alone, idiot, foolish, stupid. You say that to someone. So if the person wants to remove himself from the blames of that insult, the first thing he will make is a tawbah, because as-sibab is from the kabair. So he makes tawbah, like Ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu. That statement of Ibn Mas'ud is evidence that sibabul Muslim fusuk is criminality, being a criminal. When you insult, abuse people, you are being a criminal. If a person now comes into this criminal act, how does he free himself? One of the ways to free yourself is through what? Sakyul ma. That's why in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has followed Babu Sibak with Babu Sakyul ma. He follows this chapter about insult and abusing people. He follows it with the chapter about what? Sakyul ma. Providing water for people to drink. Why? It has a lot of rewards, and it's a major means of cancelling out the evil deeds that you would have committed, including insulting people. So it's an antidote to what? As-sibab. It's like talking about the evil of something and talking about how to come out of something. Now let me draw out a major point of benefit, inshallah, in this. The Ummah of Islam, if they accuse somebody of evil, they want to tell him how to come out of that evil. This is what Al-Bukhari is saying here. You commit a sin. They want to show you how do you come out of that sin. Do you understand? Someone commits as-sibab, sabba insanan. He abuses someone. They can tell, look, this abuse, this you're insulting someone. Do you know how you come out? Come out like this. Come out like this. Do this. That's what you hear in Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's statement saying, Illa man taba. He is pointing to tawbah, encouraging whoever gets into insulting and abusing people to make what? A tawbah. This is from the Rabbaniyah of the scholars of this Ummah. When you they want to tell you how to come out of your error. When you stain yourself, they want to teach you how to clean up yourself from the stain. But the Muslims of today, if at all they find you erring, they want you to remain in that error. And then they gloat about your being in error. They gloat about it. They make a shatm of you. They make a shamata. So they gloat over it. They enjoy it. They enjoy their brother to be in a problem regarding his religion. Now, if you point out that your brother has a problem in his religion, you have not finished. The next thing you should do is tell him how to come out of that. So that's why when you now tell him how to come out, you'll be waiting for him. You'll be encouraging him. You'll be praying for him to be able to come out. But the Muslims of today, even those who claim Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when they claim and they find their brother in an error, they want him to remain in that error. They don't want him to come out. It's very, very common amongst us. This is something that is bad that we should change. If you find somebody in an error, encourage him to come out of the error after educating him and making him realize that he's in an error. You educate him. You tell him, go out like this. We remember in this same book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, whether the first or second or third hadith, we remember a man who made khitbah to a woman. That woman rejected his khitbah. He said, Fadirtu alayha faqataltuha. The one who was rejected became jealous, and then he killed the woman. We remember this hadith. That is hadith number 4 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. A man came to Abdullah ibn Abbas and reported himself to him as a scholar. People report themselves to you. People do that a lot. So you help them get out of that condition. You help them get out of the condition. Once you know, say, okay, this is the way to go out. You repent like this. You do like this. You do. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Before I go to Ibn Mas'ud, let me finish with Abdullah ibn Abbas. Radiallahu anhu. The man came and said that I want to marry a woman. Fa'abat antankihani. Hadith number 4. Go back to it in this book. Al-Adab al-Mufrad. The guy rejected my khitbah. It says, wa khatabaha ghayri. Another man made khitbah. Fa'ahabat antankihahu. So she desired, she loved to marry that second person. Fagirtu alayha fakotaltuha. So I became jealous over her, a woman that I like so much. That was what he was saying to Ibn Abbas, Abu al-Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. So he had ghayra over that woman. And he killed the woman. If he tells that if he doesn't marry the woman, then nobody should marry the woman. If he doesn't marry the woman, then nobody should marry the woman. So he killed that woman. He took the life of the woman. This is a big sin in Islam. Qatlun nafs. Safkud dam. Bloodletting is prohibited in Islam. Wala taqtulun nafs allati harramallahu illa bilhaqi. Don't take a soul that Allah holds in sanctity. So this was what happened during the time of Abdullah ibn Umar. The man now said, Fahalli min tawba. Can I ever be forgiven? And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, asked him, Ummuka hayya. Is your mother alive? Qala la. Say, my mother is not alive. The scholar say he was asking about his mother. Because one good deed that will weigh so heavily, that will help your good scale, because you have dropped something on your scale of evil that is very, very, very weighty. It can put you to Jahannam for a long time, taking the soul of a person. So you need another goodness that's also very, very weighty to counterbalance the negative effect of the evil that you have committed. So Ibn Mas'ud explained to him what he will do. Tub ilallah wa taqarrab ilayhim mastata'at. Repent unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then try to draw near to Allah with a lot of good deeds as much as you can. So some of the tabi'un, Atta'u ibn Yasar, went to ask Abdullah ibn Abbas, why were you asking him about his mother? And Ibn Abbas said, I don't know any good deed, the reward of which is so huge, like being kind and dutiful to your mother. So the point here is Ibn Abbas guided him out. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, someone divorced his wife. I am saying, giving examples of how our salaf, how they paid attention to removing somebody who gets into a dirtiness. They guide him out of his error. Someone divorced his wife. He did not make witness over it. So he went to Abu Sa'id. The same thing happened to Abdullah ibn Abbas. I have divorced my wife, and I did not make witness. It became a means of a trouble to him. I think an argument came up. This asar is sahih. So he said, that is how you people will be, you'll be acting before you seek for knowledge. Go and do so. He told him what to do. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, I think this report has to do with Zirri ibn Hubaysh, who later happened to be a great scholar in the sciences of Qira'atul Quran. It was said that he was a singer, he was a musician. He was singing music, people gathered around him, and he was tapping a string instrument like a jita. Ibn Mas'ud looked at him. He began to weep and he walked away. Radiallahu anhu. The man who was singing noted this. This old man saw me and he began to weep and he walked away. At those times, people who sin too are usually reasonable. These days, people who sin become unreasonable. May Allah protect us. So that's why they need more attention, more education, more enlightenment we need at this time. If you condemn him, he has condemned himself already. So we need to step up our enlightenment and educating the people about the limits of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the man ran after Abdullah ibn Masud. And he knocked his door. He came out. I saw you now when I was singing with people. The man was telling Ibn Masud. And you were weeping when you looked at me. You shook your head and you left. What happened? And Ibn Masud was reported to have said to the man that I wish that this sonorous voice with which you are singing, you can use it to read the Quran. The man was above 40 at that time. So I can read Quran with this voice. Say yes. He dropped his musical instrument and musical industry. He came to meet Abdullah ibn Masud and he learned the Quran. That man became from amongst those who transmitted the Quran in all the Qira'at. I think it was Zir ibn Hubaysh, who was a Tabi'i from amongst the students of Abdullah ibn Masud. The point is that the early Muslims were always interested in removing a Muslim from a condition that he would be into a better condition. But in our own time, you say he's your brother, but you want to put him into dirtiness. And when he says, no, I'm free of what, you say, no, you are there, you are inside, you are. I remember one of the scholars who was accused of evil. He said, no, I did not say what you said that I have said. They say, no, you said it. Say, okay, bring where I have said it. Bring it. Till today, people still quote that statement and ascribe it to him. I did not say what you said that I say. If you say that I said it, bring it to me. Show me where I said it. Give me a recording. Just tell me anywhere. Show me where I said what you are ascribing to me, over which you are dispraising me. So it is common in our times that people find their brother, this is even when they find him upon something negative in his religion, if it is correct, that he was actually upon an error, if it is correct, what are your efforts to bring him out? How about when he's free from error and you want him to be ascribed to that error upon evil? So you can see the kind of Muslims people have become. And unfortunately, they say this is manhaj of Salaf. It is not manhaj. It is manhajul khalaf. As for manhajul Salaf, this is what Al-Imam al-Bukhari has done. When he spoke about a sibab abusing a Muslim, insulting a Muslim, speaking evil about a Muslim, he came back to tell us, if a person now becomes like that, how does he come out? How does he become free in the sight of Allah from all the insults and abuses that he has done? This is what we are reading today under this chapter heading, Babu Saqil Ma, the chapter about providing water to people, in Hadith 422 in our book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. The Imam said, Haddathana Musaddadun, Qala Haddathana Abdul Wahid, قال حدثنا ليث عن طاووس عن ابن عباس أظنه رفعه شق ليث قال في ابن آدم 60 و300 سلامة في ابن آدم 60 و300 سلامة أو عظم أو مفصل على كل واحد في كل يوم صدقة كل كلمة طيبة صدقة وأون الرجل أخاه صدقة والشربة من الماء يسقيها صدقة وإماتة الأذى عن الطريق صدقة. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports this hadith from his Sheikh Musaddad, and that is his well-known Sheikh Musaddad ibn Musarhad Abu al-Hasan Musaddad Ibn Musar Had Ibn Musar Bal al-Basri, one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and one of the first persons to compile a book of hadith. He studied hadith. He was also a student of Al-Imam Ahmad Musaddad. So he compiled a hadith. So he has Musnadu Musaddad, Rahimahullah. He was a teacher of Al-Bukhari in this asar. Well known. We have read a number of his hadith in this book, Al-Adabul Mufrad. He is reporting from his Shaykh Abdul Wahid. He said, Haddathana Abdul Wahid. And Abdul Wahid, he is Abdul Wahid ibn Ziyad al-Abadi. Abdul Wahid ibn Ziyad al-Abadi. Rahimahullah al-Basri. Abu Bishr. Musaddad is Basri. Abdul Wahid is Basri. He is reporting from Layth. That is Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. Layth ibn Abi Sulaym Abu Bakr. He was a well-known reporter of hadith, even though he reports weak hadith. But this hadith is sahih because it is variously reported in the books of hadith, including Sahih Muslim, and parts of it in Sahih al-Bukhari. So this hadith is sound and reliable, even though it has Layth ibn Abi Sulaym in it. It's not. This hadith is sahih. Layth ibn Abi Sulaym is reporting from Al-Imam Tawus, Imamu Ahl Yaman, Tawus ibn Kaysan, Abu Abdullah, Tawus ibn Kaysan, Abu Abdurrahman al-Yamani, Tawus ibn Kaysan, Abu Abdurrahman al-Yamani. He had a son called Abdullah, who was well known, was a great scholar of hadith, Abdullah ibn Tawus ibn Kaysan, Rahimahumullah. Tawus ibn Kaysan was known for ibadah amongst the tabi'un. Tawus ibn Kaysan was a tabi'i. The scholars say, Kana min Ubadi Ahli al-Yaman. Kana min Ubadi Ahli al-Yaman. He was from amongst those who were grossly engaged with ibadah amongst the people of Yemen. He was serious with ibadah, Tawus ibn Kaysan. Why do we mention some of these things? We mention some of these things because these days, many of us are weak in terms of making ibadah. A brother was speaking to me about 2 weeks ago on a Sunday morning about a disagreement between himself and his family, and he said something. I wish that I kissed his forehead. He said during the discussion with the family, who in this house reads the Quran like I do? That is the second major noble character that I have known with this brother. That brother, I got aware that he has been making Salatul Duha for almost 10 years. After Salatul Fajri, he will sit down where he is and he will wait there until Salatul Duha. After Salatul Fajri, he will sit down at that place. He will be there until Ishraq and Duha. He will make units of Duha. We'll come back to Salatul Duha today too, inshallah, because it is in this hadith. So he will make Salatul Duha before he goes back. Someone said to me that he has been like that now for almost 10 years or more. And then he was talking about that matter. And then he said he reads the Quran a lot. Allah alone knows how much he reads per day. This is a big virtue for someone to be known with worship, ibadah. Ibadah, ibadah, you worship, worship, worship. For us, these things are small. These days, it is Facebook, 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 and insult, insult, insult. That is what we refer to as Manhajul Salafi today. The Salaf were Ubad. Tawus ibn Kaysan kana min Ubadi Ahli al-Yaman. Tawus was from amongst the ardent worshippers amongst the people of Yemen. But that worship did not prevent him from being very knowledgeable. وَكَانَ مِنْ فُقَهَائِهِمْ. He was also from amongst their scholars of fiqh. وَمِنْ سَعَدَاتِ التَّابِعِينَ. And he was from amongst the leaders of the Tabi'un. طَاوُوسِ ibn كَيْسَانَ al-Yamani. رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. And it said, قَدْ حَجَّ أَرْبَعِينَ حَجَّةً. طَاوُوسِ ibn كَيْسَانَ حَجَّ أَرْبَعِينَ حَجَّةً. He made 40 hajj, 40 times. Taus, one of the ways of the early Muslims, they made a lot of hajj from Yemen. How easy would that be? And they used to come only on beast of burdens. In our own times, we have aeroplanes. Yet people who have the ability would not go for hajj and umrah. Go for hajj and umrah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that Allah gave this religion to, he encouraged us to go for hajj as much as we can. Just as much as you are able to go. Go, 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 go. And the Prophet was aware that there were some poor Muslims that will need money around you. Yet he said, go, go, go. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reported that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, تَابِعُوا بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. Follow up one hajj with another one. Follow up one hajj. Go. One hajj. Go with another one. Go another one. تَابِعُوا بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ. This is the statement of the one who brought the Sharia. The Prophet knew balance. The Prophet knew equity. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet he said, go, 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 go. Don't wait. Go for hajj. Go for hajj. Go for umrah. Go for umrah. Go for umrah. The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الزُّنُوبِ. Because these two things, Hajj and Umrah, they take away sins, wal-faqr, and what? And poverty. What will remove poverty from the people? When they go for Hajj, Allah will enrich them. When they go for Hajj, Allah will enrich them. He will enrich them, enrich their families. That's why in the North, people believe that if you have money and you are not going for Umrah, your wealth will go away. The Northerners believe that. If you have wealth and you don't go for Umrah, your wealth will go. That's why in Ramadan you see very young Northerners performing Umrah and Hajj. So let's go for Umrah. As long as you're able to go, go. As long as you're able to go, go. As long as this is what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, one day he saw people returning from Hajj. He passed by them. You were returning from Hajj. And Umar said radiyallahu anhu, لو يعلم الرقب بما ينقلبون به من الفضل بعد المغفرة. لو يعلم الرقب. Ah, look at these riders. لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الرَّقْبُ. If this group of riders returning from Hajj, if they know بِمَا يَنْقَلِبُونَ بِهِ مِنَ الْفَضْلِ بَعْدَ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Ah, if they know what they are returning with, مِنَ الْفَضْلِ, out of the favors of Allah, they have gone for Hajj and they are returning with a lot of favors. بَعْدَ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. After they've gained forgiveness from Allah, I wish they knew, these people are successful. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu, he considers the Hajj and Umrah as jihad. The Prophet said so too, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasalam, he mentioned the Hajj and the Umrah as what? As what? Jihad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, halumma ila jihadin law shawkat la shawkata fihi. Halumma, make haste to make the jihad that la shawkata fihi. There is no injury in it. There is no, you will not get injured. It's not about fighting, killing, no. There is a jihad, but that jihad does not have fighting inside it. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-hajju halumma ila jihadin fi sabilillah la shawkata fihi. Come on, make haste, make the hajj that does not the jihad that does not have injury, and that is al-hajj. So you find early Muslims making a lot of hajj, making a lot of umrah. As much as Allah makes it easy for you, go, 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 go. Here we are, Tawus ibn Kaystan. He made a lot of hajj. Hajj arba'ina hajjatan. He made hajj 4 times. Wamima zukira anhu. And from the things that had been mentioned regarding him, annahu kana mustajab ad-da'wa, that Tawus ibn Kaysan had istijaba. He is mujab ad-da'wa, mustajab ad-da'wa. If he makes dua, Allah accepts. Look at, he was a worshipping person. He was a scholar of fiqh, a scholar of hadith, a scholar of tafsir. He was eminent. He made hajj many times. And he met a lot of companions and took knowledge from them. If he made dua, Allah accepted the dua. Is there anything beyond this we want again? So Tawus was so, so knowledgeable. He was so worshipful. Rahimahullah. Is the one reporting this hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Like I said earlier, the reason we highlight the lives of some of these people, sometimes we want us to learn from that. Manhaj al-Salafi does not end with fighting and causing trouble. No, there are aspects of it. If a person errs, you explain. This is an error. But abuse, insult, and all of this, for the sake of Allah, we should set them aside. We should set those things aside and be more interested in explaining the religion, enlightening the people, educating the people. This is what we should get busy with. And then with ourselves, many brothers don't make qiyamul layl. They sleep from night to fajr. They wake up in the morning, they pick up their phones, they become Imam Jarh wa Ta'dil on the Facebook again. This is not Salafiyya or Sunnah. May Allah protect us all. Tawus ibn Kaysan reports from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. Azunuhu rafa'ahu shakka Layth ibn Abi Sulaym, who reported from Tawus. He was doubtful whether Ibn Abbas said that this statement, I heard it from the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, or that Ibn Abbas said it as from his own statement. The two of them can be correct. Ibn Abbas would have heard this from the companions, because Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and others among the companions have reported this same hadith, and they are collected in other books of hadith. So Ibn Abbas would have known it. So he could say it like his own statement, and it like saying a verse of the Quran without saying that it is a verse of the Quran. So the same way a companion can say a hadith without necessarily saying that it is a hadith. But Layth ibn Abi Sulaym is in doubt, was in doubt, whether Ibn Abbas, whether Tawus reported Ibn Abbas to have mentioned it as from his own statement, or that Tawus reported it, that Ibn Abbas reported it as a statement from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu. On either of the sides, the statement is sound. And it is authentic and has been reported by other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including the report of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasallam, fi bni adam sittuna wa thalathu mi'ati sulama fi ibni adam, the children of Adam, we have 360 sulama. The sulama are our mafasil, the joints. We have mifsal. We have 360 joints. Our azmin, or call it bones. But what it refers to, our mafsilin. If you go, these three words have been used, sulama, our azmin, our mafsilin. These three words have been used. The mafsil or the mafasil is the sulama itself. I hope that it is clear. The joints. We have 360 joints. The Prophet said so, alayhi salatu wasalam. every son of Adam has 360 joints. Ala kulli wahidin fi kulli yawmin sadaqa. Each of these 360 joints has a sadaqa that is due over it from that individual. Look at how you move. You move when the various joints allow you to move, isn't it? If you want to sit down, the joints of the knees will bend. If you want to stand up, the joints of the knee, it will stretch again. So the way these joints move, the way you speak, the way you act, if you observe Salah, look at how your joints will be working. So these joints, each of them has a sadaqa that is due over it. Each of us, the children of Adam, we have 360 joints. Each of these joints has sadaqa due over it fi kulli yawmin, every day. So 360, meaning that we need to make sadaqa 360 times every day, each of us. So how many of us does sadaqa? Yesterday that ended, before this morning, how many of us did sadaqa? How many of us? And we have a duty to sadaqa 360 times every day. How is that? These your joints, each of them requires sadaqa. Did you make 360 sadaqa yesterday? Did you even make one sadaqa yesterday? And we know that sadaqa does not have to be something big, even if it be half of a date. Did we make sadaqa yesterday? So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, we have 360 joints or bones, 360 joints on each of us. And each of these joints has sadaqa, charity, due over it. Then the Prophet gave us the way out. Alayhi salatu salam. If we can give sadaqa 360 times, 1, 2, 3, 4, so that we can pay the dues over the joints of our bodies. You can see, if you give one sadaqa, you have just paid the dues for one joint. If you pay another sadaqa, you have paid the due for another, the dues for another joint. Now you have 360. So you are due for 360 sadaqa every day. But the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu kalimatin tayyibatin sadaqa. Every good word is sadaqa. So when you wake up in the morning, you say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. You have done one sadaqa. You want to start wudu, you say, Bismillah, you have done another sadaqa. You finish wudu, you say, Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. After your tashahud, you have made sadaqa. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. You made sadaqa. And then you want to start your qiyamul layl. You say, Allahu Akbar. What have you done? Sadaqa. So, kullu kalimatin tayyibatin sadaqa. Because kalimatu tayyiba includes two things. The azkars that we make and the good words that we speak. Maybe in the morning after you wake up, you tell your wife, Ummu Abdullah, please wake up too so that you can make qiyamul layl. What have you done? Sadaqa. So you have started to reduce the 360 sadaqa that is due upon you. وَعَوْنُ الرَّجُلِ أَخَاهُ الصَّدَقَ. A man's helping his brother is sadaqa. Your brother wanted to do something. You helped him pick it. You helped him do this. You helped him do this. He wants to do, you help him do this. It is sadaqa when you help your brother over his affairs. And now we come to the major point of reference in this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that وَالشُّرْبَةُ مِنَ الْمَاءِ يَسْقِيهَا صَدَقَةٌ الشُّرْبَةُ مِنَ الْمَاءِ. A mouthful of water you provide someone. يَسْقِيهَا. You provide someone a mouthful of water. It is sadaqa for you. Providing someone. Please, can you, this is water. Sadaqa. It is sadaqa. And it is not restricted to the month of Ramadan. many times we get busy with these things in Ramadan. Outside Ramadan, they are still there for us, providing somebody water. What if you provide him food? If you provide him water, it is sadaqah. Type. What if when you provide him food, it's sadaqah? So with all of these, your 360 sadaqah that is due on you every day, you have started paying them with azkars, with good words to people, with helping people, with providing people water to drink. You already start to pay your 360 sadaqah that is due upon you every day. This is our point of reference in this hadith, that providing people water is a major aspect of sadaqah. When you do it, you gain a lot of rewards. You gain forgiveness for your sins. And all those insults and abuse that you have abused people, these good ones cancel them out. Because in al hasanat yuzhibn as-sayyi'at, dhalika dhikra lidhakirin. In al hasanat يذهبنا السيئات. Allah said to us subhanahu wa ta'ala, إن الحسنات, certainly good deeds, يذهبنا السيئات, they take away your evil deeds. So your insult, you have abused people, you have insulted him, you have belittled him, you have denigrated him, you have smeared him, you have slandered him, you have backbeaten him. Okay, do good deeds. Make a lot of adhkar. Help someone in need. These ones will be overweighing those other ones that you have done. Why? In al hasanat yuzhibn as-sayyi'at. Provide someone drink to drink. When you provide someone drinks to drink, it will cancel out those other sins that you have committed, and it will raise your rank before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is a good deed. In al hasanat yuzhibna sayyi'at. And I always say to people, if someone does wrong to you, don't stop him from doing good. Someone was rude to you. He now wants to cancel that rudeness. Don't close the gap. Allow him to be able to be nice to you. If someone was rude to you, don't close the gap. And you too, any of us who falls in an error, you try to do something good too. So if you offend someone, try to quickly correct that offense by doing good to that person that you have offended. Why? In al hasanat is ibn as-sayyad. That's why some scholars say that if you backbite somebody and you spoke evil of him behind him, go back and speak good of him in that same place where you'd spoken evil of him. Why? In al hasanat is ibn as-sayyad. So the way you had angered him, spoiled him, go and repair it. If he has good deeds that you know, go and say it. Some of the scholars have mentioned that as from the ways of losing out, coming out of the sin of backbiting and slandering. Because al-hasanat is ibn as-sayyi'at. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that was shurbatu min al-ma' yaskiha sadaqatun. The water that he provides someone to drink is sadaqah. Many scholars consider it as from the ways of seeking cure from illnesses, providing water, begging Allah, using it to beg Allah. It's water, Allah. When you give me the reward, help me provide sound health to so-so and so. And then you mention it, providing water to drink is a major good deed. Likewise, providing people food to eat. Brothers, please, as much as you are able to, look for people you know that these people, if I give them food, they will not commit sin with my food. You'll be worshiping Allah with it. Provide them the food. Wallahi, it's a major means of seeking nearness to Allah. Providing people food. تدخل الجنة بالسلام. You will find it easy to enter al-Jannah. Providing people food and drink. Let's try to do that. وإماطة الأذى عن الطريق صدقة. إماطة الأذى عن الطريق صدقة. removing harm from the road of the people is sadaqah. There's something that can harm the people. You pack, you remove it from the road, sadaqah. So all of these things will be canceling out. Don't forget that evil from your insult, from your abuse, from that you had done. These good deeds will cancel them out. This is what Al-Imam, this is the reason why after Bab Sibab, the chapter about insulting people, Bukhari rahimahullah Al-Imam, he followed it with the chapter about what? Sakyul Ma. Because these deeds will cancel out the sins from the insult and abuse. Inshallah, in the next class, we go into other issues regarding abusing people. Now we have known how to get out of it. I'm sure we remember how to get out of abusing people. Make tawbah and then do good deeds. Make a lot of adhkar and so on and so forth. In other reports of this same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, "Wa amrun bil ma'ruf fi sadaqah." When you encourage people, you command them to do good. You're also making sadaqah. So let no one say, "Oh, I don't have money to give." You have your mouth and you can do azkar. That azkar you are doing is kalimatun tayyibatun and it is sadaqah. You can help somebody. You're helping somebody is sadaqah. So don't say, "Oh, me, I don't have money to make sadaqah." You have your mouth and you can make azkar. That's why you see the Prophet also said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu tasbihatin sadaqah, wa kullu tahmidatin sadaqah, وَكُلُّ تَحْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. All of these things are صَدَقَةٍ. Subhanallah, وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. You can see all of them together or differently. All of these things are صَدَقَةٍ. وَأَمُرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَةٍ. Commanding people to do good is صَدَقَةٍ. وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةٍ. And prohibiting people from doing evil is sadaqah. Then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa yujzi'u min kulli dhalika rak'atan yarka'uhuma min at-duha. Wa yujzi'u min kulli dhalik. There is something that will suffice all these you are doing. 360 sadaqahs you owe yourself every day, Abi. There is something that can take over that 360. The Prophet said, it is what? Rak'atan, two units of prayer. Yarka'uhuma min ad-duha. That the individual will observe min ad-duha at the time of Salatul Duha. At the time of Duha. And that is Salatul Duha. Salatul Duha, if you observe it, two units of prayer. All those 360 sadaqat, you have paid it. You just say, ooh. Min kulli, what will suffice from all that? It will suffice to stand in their place. What is it that will stand in their place? Two units of prayer. The reward of it will pay your 360 sadaqah. Meaning that I wish that each of us every day, the least of what we can do for Salatul Duha is what? Two units of prayer. And when we pray two units of prayer, you have prayed your 360 sadaqah every day. Two units of Salatul Duha. And the time for Duha is very wide, especially in our own part of the world, because it will start from the time of the sunrise, from the time of Ishraq. Ishraq is Awwalul Duha. Ishraq is what? Awwalul Duha, the beginning of the time of Duha. And it extends up to 15 to 20 minutes before Salatul Duha. Hours, 15 to 20 minutes before Duhur, you have opportunity to make two quick units of prayer. You don't need to read Baqarah in it. If you know Suratul Ikhlas, it will suffice. If you know Kafirun, it will suffice. You can do this one even in your office. Pay your dues of 360 sadaqah. You pay it with two units of prayers. So all those other things that you now do, in terms of your adhkar, in terms of your sadaqah, in terms of your helping people, they will now be additional good deeds for you. But as for the 360 sadaka that is due on your joints daily, you would have paid them with those two units of salatul duha. وَذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is a blessing from Allah, and He gives whom He wills. So for the sake of Allah, I hope that the lessons of the class today are well noted. The first thing is that one good thing about our religion is that it always teaches us how to come out of a particular problem, a particular error, a particular bad character. Islam will teach you how to come out of it, a particular sin. Islam will teach you how to atone for that sin. So we, when we make da'wah, we should not only heap the blames of sin on people, we should educate them on how to come out of the sin. You know, a girl, I remember when we were in the higher institution, there was a sister, she was very regular in salah, but she does something. Outside, you see her on bump, short dresses outside in the university campus, short dresses. But in the masjid, she would tie a wrapper, she would bring another wrapper up, and she would pray correctly. So everybody is watching, what's wrong with this sister? And she's a regular with salah, very regular with salah, comes to salawat. So people were surprised. The brother started saying, what's wrong with this woman? She doesn't wear jilbab everywhere. She doesn't wear even hijab. She doesn't wear anything. It is skimpy dresses she wear. You can imagine, I can't describe the dresses she wear on the campus. So people started watching, what's happening? So one day, after I led the salah, immediately I finished, I rushed out so that I could meet the sister when she was properly dressed. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum salam. So why don't you dress like this outside on the campus? You know what she said to me? She said, that is the fitna that I have. She said, that's the fitna she has. She said, brother, I try to pay up. There's no day I don't make qiyamul layl properly. She was telling me like that. She says she also makes fasting Thursday and Monday regularly. But she has been trying to fight her soul regarding her dressing. She said, as you see me, I don't ever make zina. I don't ever make zina. But it's a problem. She's trying to solve that problem. So I told her, inshallah, I'll be begging Allah to solve this problem for you, to help you be able to wear hijab. I think she finally even wore the hijab before she left the school. Some brothers listening might have known this matter that I'm talking about. It was a common matter amongst the brothers at the time. So people have challenges dropping sins. Don't add to their problems. Help them. You educate them. You read Quran to them. You read Hadith to them. Leave the space open for them to be able to come out of the sin they are in. Don't close the door against their faces. We remember that the man who had killed 99 people, he came to a monk, and the monk told him, "Anna laka min tawbat." Ha! You killed 99 people. Who will forgive you? He killed him to be the hundredth. The scholars say that was the monk giving him a position of ignorance. 99 people. So don't close the doors in the face of the people. When you describe a particular evil they do, mention how they can come out of that evil. This is nasiha. Nasiha is you want good for him. And the only good for that person in that evil is that he's able to come out. Don't close the door on his face. So it is not nasiha if you want him to remain in that evil. It is not nasiha. The only time it is nasiha is that you mention an evil to him. You tell him to please come out like this. Follow this route and come out. That is when you are nasihun amin. So don't ascribe nasiha to yourself until you are like this. The second major point we mentioned in class today is that we should try to make up with Hajj, Umrah. Some people go about saying that, don't go for Hajj, bring the money for me, let me spend it. We should gather the money and bring it to them to spend. Instead of you going for Hajj second, third, fourth, fifth times, bring the money so that they can spend it. everything has its place in Islam. We have 12 months in the calendar. It is the 12th month that we have Hajj. The other 11 months too, Sadaqah is open. The gates of Sadaqah is open in 11 months. We encourage people to make Sadaqah, pay, provide money to the poor in 11 months. It is not restricted to Hajj. The man wants to go for Hajj. He said, no, he should bring the money and give it to you. You'll be helping him to do Sadaqah. The Prophet did not do that. That is strange to our religion. Some people have started to canvass this. That canvassing, that action is wrong. It is strange. It is not known in our religion. It is something they are bringing. And then they are counting Hajj like one plus one is equal to two. Hajj will bring money to Saudi Arabia. It will deprive Nigeria of money. Hajj will bring, these kinds of arguments that do not go beyond materialistic considerations. Let us look at Hajj beyond all of these. If you are able to make the Hajj, make the Hajj. This is one act of worship. You're able to make Nawafil, make Nawafil. It's one act of worship. If you're able to make Sadaqat, make a lot of Sadaqat. Don't close the door of one good deed. So, no, unless you do it like this. Sadaqah is not the only good deed. There are other good deeds, Nawafils. Look at all the Sadaqah we have been counting. The Prophet said 2 units of prayer can't take all of them. So someone now prevents people from taking those 2 units of prayer. Say, no, they should be bringing Sadaqah instead of 2 units of prayer. But 2 units of prayer, we stand in for all those other Sadaqahs. So don't close the door of any good deed to people. If a person finds it easy as every year to go for Hajj, leave him, let him go. Don't tell him to bring his money so that you can begin to distribute it amongst poor people. Nobody sent you that in the religion of Islam. I hope that those concerned would have gotten the message. May Allah protect all of us and make us better Muslims. Those who abuse people and insult them, for the sake of Allah, we should do good deeds that will cancel the sin of insulting people. I think we can stop here today, inshallah. Abu Amir.
No.
Abu Yusuf. I mean, even though it was breaking. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay.
So,
sorry.
I can't hear you.
Is it wrong for a Muslim to have ill faith or dislike towards it in the case of dispute over money?
You say what?
Can you hear me?
It is still breaking. I can barely hear you. Just go on. Let me see. If I can't hear you, I will read the questions from the platform myself, inshallah.
No, I said, is it wrong for a Muslim to have this feeling or this life towards
the last thing I heard is towards
because of the dispute over money?
Yeah, these things are natural. You have a dispute over money. Can you hear me, Abba Yusuf? Can you hear me? Abba Yusuf, can you hear me? Okay, two brothers have a dispute. Okay, I think to what he was saying, I hope that the rest of us can hear me. But I wasn't hearing Abu Yusuf. If we two brothers have a dispute over money, he borrowed him 10,000 naira. He came and said, no, it is 5,000. Can that be a means of ill feelings? They should resolve the matter. They should look for a way of resolving the matter. Resolve the matter. وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. We had read a lot of ahadith and verses of the Quran on this. Resolve it. Put the matter on the table and resolve it so that it does not begin to make you begrudge your brother and knows evil regarding him. Put it on the table and address the matter. I think that is the way to go. If it does not get resolved, you can go to court. The parties can go to court. It is not wrong to go to court over disputes like this. Go to court. It's not wrong at all. and it does not bring any ill feelings, because the court will judge. I'm talking about the court of Sharia if we have. If we don't have, and it's a matter that the secular courts too can judge in the way that the Sharia has instituted, then you can do it. The scholars allow us to seek judgment there if, when we already are probably aware that the law there, that particular law for that particular condition, will suit that purpose of our religion in that circumstance. So I think the matter can be taken. But if we have a mahkama, or we have a council of elders in that community, that is far better than going to a secular court. May Allah protect all of us. There's a question here about a man who grew up and heard that the Akiko was not slaughtered for him. He can slaughter it for himself. If you grew up, you got aware that the Akiko was not slaughtered for you by your parents, you can slaughter it by yourself. That narration in Al-Mu'jam by Al-Imam Al-Tabarani, I think it is in Mu'jam Al-Kabir, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عَقَّ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ بَعْدَ عَنْ بُعِثَ بِالنُّبُوَّةِ. After the Prophet was raised with prophethood, he made Akiko for himself. That hadith, يَقْبَلُ tahsin. It will accept for us to say that it is a sound hadith. So the Prophet did that for himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is lawful for us to do that for ourselves, if we are able to, and when we become able to, it is lawful, inshallah, to do it. There's a question here on what is the difference between Salatul Duha and the sunrise nafila, that is Salatul Ishraq. Al-Ishraq awwalud duha, the earliest time of Salatul Duha is what? Salatul Ishraq. This is the position of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. The earliest time you make Salatul Ishraq, that Salatul Ishraq you are doing, that is the beginning of Salatul Duha. So they are the same, but the names are different, because the Ishraq is the beginning of it. And it's the earliest rays of the light that you see regarding the sun. So you do it at that beginning. When you do it at the beginning, it is called Al-Ishraq. But the better time to do it is the time of Duha itself, when the place is really, really bright. In fact, the best time for Salatul Duha is when the sun is paining. You know, when the sun is paining the body, that is the best time for Salatul Duha. I hope that clarifies the difference between Salatul Ishraq and Salatul Duha. There's a question here. This question had come repeatedly. And that is that, what can we say about this common statement that some Christians are even better than Muslims? Some Muslims say that it is a common statement amongst elite Muslims. They say that some Christians are even better than some Muslims. I think they should clarify what they mean. If they mean that a Christian is better generally, then this is wrong. A Christian is an enemy of Allah. Is a dull. Allah refers to them as dullun. The Jews are maghdubi alayhim. This is by the statement of the Quran. The Jews are maghdubi alayhim. The Christians are dullun. How can maghdubi alayhim, those that Allah's anger is upon, and dullun, and those who are astray because of ignorance, how can they become better than the mu'min, the person of iman? So they can't. Should you make the Muslim to become like criminals? So these people are criminals. Mujrimin here are kuffar. The Mujrimin here are who? Kuffar. Because it says Muslimun. And after Muslimun, you only have kuffar. So don't compare a Muslim to a non-Muslim in terms of goodness. Iman itself is better than kufr. You can't bring them side by side. Iman is acceptable. Kufr is rejected. So the person of Iman is an acceptable person before Allah. He may be sinful, but his Iman weighs far much more than the kufr that destroys those good deeds of the Christian that you see. That's why on the day of Qiyamah, if a person was a honest Christian, but he dies upon Christianity, Allah says, "Fala nuqimu lahu yawm al-qiyamati wazna." On the day of Qiyamah, he does not have a scale of good deeds to put that his honesty, that his truthfulness, that his kindness, he does not have a place to put it. So it is wrong to say that a Christian is better than a Muslim. It is a very wrong statement. People should not say that. But let's say in things that do not concern their faith, you have a carpenter who is a Muslim. You have a carpenter who is a Christian. A Christian carpenter can know carpentry more than a Muslim carpenter. A Christian driver may know how to drive more than a Muslim driver. A Muslim driver may know how to handle a particular vehicle than a, these are regarding peculiarities, particular matters. But when it comes to generally saying that somebody is good or bad, don't say a Christian is better than a Muslim. It's a wrong statement. May Allah protect us.
I mean,
wanting for Jazakallah khairan about Yusuf.
No, there is a misconception by a brother.
Okay, please.
He understood from our previous classes on Hajj that he needs to make 2 units of prayer and drink Zamzam water after each tawaf, after one round. So he now heard from another sheikh that it's supposed to be after the 7th round. So you need qualification.
After a tawaf, if you make one round of tawaf, we could not have said that. If you go around the Kaaba one time, is that what he did? He went to make 2 units of prayer. Is that what he did? That's a big mistake. That's a big mistake from him. It is when you make 7. When you make 7 rounds, you go around 1, 2, 3, 4 to 7, then you make 2 units of prayers. I hope that it is clear. It is not after one round. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As also said, "Man tawafa bil bayti subu'an." Man tawafa bil bayt subu'an wa salla rak'atayn. So going, the rak'atayn should come after the subu, after 7. Whoever goes around 7, 7, 7, 7. Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. So it is when you go round 7 times, then you make 2 units of prayer. I hope that it is understood now. It is not wrong to hear something, to misunderstand it, and come back and ask for clarity. It is not wrong. It is not wrong at all. May Allah be pleased with that brother. Others too might have understood that from what we said. But that's not what we mean. What we mean is that you go around 7 times, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But it's a strange thing to misunderstand that anyway. So you go around 7 times and then you make 2 units of prayer. You go around 7 times and then 2 units of prayer. Can we stop here about Yusuf? Can we stop here? We are 15 minutes away from the time.
No, Mr. Shekana. Well, we only have a request from a woman.
Okay.
So he said her husband of 14 years is comfortable with disrespecting her, even in public, shouting at her in front of the children. And he won't say anything she has done wrong to deserve that treatment. She said the brother is in this class. He has been promoting religious codes. He always reminds us to join your class. He wants you to advise them.
For the sake of Allah, it is not just regarding our wives, regarding human beings generally. Let us avoid insulting people and abusing them. Generally speaking, avoid insulting people and abusing them. And if someone takes to insulting you, don't answer him. If someone takes to insulting you, don't answer. Don't pay back. Look away. Arabs say, إذا ابتليت بخصم لا خلاق له فكن كأنك لم تسمع ولم يقل. If you become tried by a party in feud who cares less about morality and good character, فكن كأنك لم تسمع, behave as if you did not hear what he said. ولم يقل, behave as if he did not even say anything. Behave as if you didn't hear. Behave as if he didn't say anything. So if someone takes to abusing you, it's for everybody. It's not just between a man and a wife. It can be between a man and the children. Avoid insulting your children. Avoid it. Avoid insulting your wives. Avoid insulting your friends. For the sake of Allah, avoid it. And when it now happens, return with goodness. If in the process of learning to stop abusing and insulting people, you still fall short, don't say, each time I try to correct myself, I still fall short, so I'll not correct myself again. No, don't. This is a suggestion from Shaitan. Shaitan wants you to continue to insult people, to everybody, husband, wife. Sometimes it is the other way around. It is the wife insulting the man. It happened like that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man came to report to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that his wife was very abusive of her. What the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam will make us understand how very dirty and bad it is for a woman to be like that to her husband. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, talik her, divorce her. That hadith occurs in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. So you can see, abusing your husband or abusing the wife is a very distasteful thing. Likewise, abusing children. And those who have been busy with tarbiyatul awlad, the matters about child upbringing, they say that one of the things that bring a child to low self-esteem is insult and abuse. When you insult and abuse a son or a daughter, it makes them to lose self-esteem. They begin to look at themselves as incapable when they are actually capable. They see themselves as inferior when they are actually measuring up. So for the sake of Allah, all of us, not just a man and his wife, all of us, even friends, young boys amongst themselves, don't be abusing one another. Don't be abusing one another. It is from the aspects of criminality. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that sibabul Muslim fusuk, insulting a Muslim is criminal. So let's not get into a criminal action. What is it? Insulting and abusing people, bad-mouthing them. Whether it has to do with a husband doing that to his wife, or the wife doing that to her husband. Let me now say this along with that. And that is that sometimes some people do things that make people abuse them, and they don't like to be abused. So when they are now abused, they're complaining. You do things that can make somebody to abuse you. Stop that thing too you are doing so that you help the other person too. Don't do something that will make your wife to abuse you. Don't do something that will make your husband to abuse you. Most times, abuse does not just start like that. Something happens. Whether abuse is physical or verbal, something happens. That thing that causes it, stop it. If a man knows that he's doing something that makes his wife abuse him, then she should stop it. If that thing is actually a bad thing, he should stop that thing. The husband should stop it. If the wife knows that there are things that I do that irritates my husband and he will abuse me, you stop that thing too. So as we are telling him, don't abuse your wife, we'll be telling you to stop doing something that causes your husband to abuse you. Because if we are saying people should stop abuse, and we are not telling the people to stop something they do that causes abuse, then we have not been balanced. So for the sake of Allah, all of us, كُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, let us be servants of Allah. Let us be brothers and not begin to trade abuse or trade insults. These things destroy our good deeds. That's why to get out of it, we need tawbah, another good deed too. So men, stop abusing your wives, whether in public or in secret. Remove abuse from your lifestyle. Women too should remove abuse and insults from their lifestyle. Some women proud that, if he tells me one, I will give him 50. Don't think that that is something good. That is from the ways of the people of Shaitan, to be proud over a particular sin. I adjure all of us. May Allah make it easy for us. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا بارك الله فيكم